Welcome to Nutrition for Me on UK Health Radio, your global feel-good radio. Today's show is brought to you in association with Revive Active, our show's sponsor, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, offering solutions across all life stages. Revive Active are committed to pure, premium, and positive solutions for everyone's well-being needs, working with your body's needs from morning to night, from energy to restful sleep, kids' health to active aging. We've teamed up to provide UK Health Radio listeners with 15% off their range, so you can try it for yourself. Just go to reviveactive.com and use Radio15 to see what feeling super is all about. I'm Dora Walsh, nutritionist and functional medicine practitioner, supporting you to overcome your health problems such as obesity, low immunity, chronic fatigue, skin conditions, digestive problems, out-of-control cravings, and much more. Join me each week as I delve into the fascinating world of health and nutrition, focusing on the most important developments that can really aid us in our quest for health, energy, and longevity. This week, we're asking the question, is your home making you sick? And could mold be the root cause of your health problem? Most people could never imagine that home sweet home could potentially be at the root of their health problems. Yet many of us live in houses that are over 100 years old, water-damaged buildings, or tight, cramped flats with double glazing and little airflow, even though we generate heat by cooking and showering in them every day, causing damp to build up and mold growth. When investigating the root cause of a sickness, perhaps we should not only consider looking at the whole person, but also their entire environment. Since good health doesn't just stem from healthy eating, good hydration, exercise, and rest, it may also depend on our environment and what we're exposed to. So if you're feeling chronically sick, or you have an inkling that your house could be contributing to your symptoms, then this show's for you. If you're experiencing persistent symptoms like headaches, dizziness, fatigue, coughing, or allergic reactions, it is possible that mold exposure could be at the root cause or a contributing factor to the ill health. Maybe you've had water damage that went on for a while, or you think it dried out and you can't see any mold, but that doesn't necessarily mean that mold spores aren't lurking and potentially causing health concerns. Here to speak with me about this today is Maize Al-Ali. She's a functional nutritionist and nutritional therapist of the Healthy Maize Clinic. Maize Al-Ali of Healthy Maize Clinic is a Banff registered nutritionist and a nutritional therapist who is also a yoga, meditation, and breathwork teacher and retreat leader, specializing in gut health, hormone balance, and more complex conditions such as mold detoxification for more chronic health conditions. Welcome to the show, Maize. It's great to have you here this week.
So good to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me back, Dora.
It's great to have you here. I think this is a really important topic because people are into health, nutrition, well-being, exercise, and they think about what they're eating, health and drinking healthy water, but they're not always thinking about the house they're living and how that could be contributing to their health problems, do they?
No, the lack of awareness is quite scary, really. And this is my mission now, to really get the awareness out. Even me, as a nutritionist, I was not aware of how sick you can get from mold until it took me down. But we'll go into that more later. Now it's my mission to really just spread the knowledge out to make people aware that the environment can really make you sick.
Now, you're a nutritionist. Before we go into that topic of your house, whether it's making you sick, maybe whether mold is at the root cause of your health problem, tell us how you came to be a nutritionist and interested in this area.
I came from the corporate world. I was a burnt out, stressed out TV producer for 18 years in London. Alongside that, living the London party lifestyle, work hard, play hard. I didn't have any self-care. I was eating junk. I was drinking and everything else. I really was suffering. I had a lot of gut problems. I was hospitalized with really serious IBS and other issues. I had fibroids. I had hormonal issues. I had urticaria, massive histamine issues, you name it. My health was really suffering. And I ended up going to a yoga class and this voice came and said to me, you've got to do more yoga. So I'm very guided spiritually. I'm really into science and functional medicine, but I really believe there's a lot more holistic things that we can't see that can heal us. It's so important. And I believe in guides and spirits and guardian angels. And I ended up listening to that voice. I went to India and did a month-long teacher training. It was very eat, pray, love. And I came back a teetotal raw vegan. And everyone was like, where's Maize gone? Now, that sparked my interest in nutrition. I was vegan for 6 years. And I was Googling and self-studying. And I thought I knew a lot about veganism. But as we know, you can Google till the cows come home and get a different answer. And eventually, I signed up to my 3-year naturopathic nutrition diploma at CNM. And that kind of, I love that so much, the clinics working with clients. So then I quit the rat race and launched my clinic. That was 6 years ago. I then went on to complete my master's in clinical nutrition from UCL. And I'm constantly learning and taking courses. Like, you just become addicted to learning. So I have specialized in nutrition for cancer care, also eating disorders. And more recently, been training with Gabor Maté, the king of trauma. I've done a year of training with In Compassionate Inquiry, where we work with clients to release trauma that's somatically held in the body, which is so key for chronic health conditions. So my specialism initially was my initial area of illness, which was gut health. So I was doing a lot of gut health. I'm 47. All my peers are perimenopausal. So I'm doing a lot of perimenopause, a lot of hormone health. And then, even with all my knowledge, 2 years ago, I was struck down with severe mold poisoning. And as a result, I've healed myself of that. And now I work with a lot of complex cases, a lot of mold sick people. And like I said, it's my mission to just get this information out there and stop people suffering, because it can really destroy your life. Yeah, so that's a little bit about me.
I love the story of the change of going from a TV producer, being burnt out, having all these health issues, and then waking up and changing your life through studying nutrition and now helping other people. Mold is big on your list now, having suffered from that yourself. What did you learn from mold sickness?
Well, I learned that, of course, black mold grows on the walls. So if you have a leak in your house, mold starts to grow within 24 to 48 hours. So you must get that leak fixed ASAP, yeah? So of course, yeah, black mold on the wall, this is super toxic, yeah? Any discoloration doesn't even need to be black. Beige, yellowy, that kind of bubbling of wallpaper or paint, this is all a sign that things are growing that shouldn't be. So yeah, I knew that was toxic, but what I didn't know was that you don't need to see anything on the wall and you can still be poisoned by mold. And this is the scary thing. So I was living in a flat by the sea in Ibiza, and there was no heating in the winter. It was cold. So there was like electrical heaters. So it just caused a lot of dampness, a lot of condensation. I didn't really understand, very foolishly, the importance of ventilation. So I wasn't really ventilating and it was really damp in there. And I would go away, come back from after a few weeks, and my leathers would be caked in mold. And I would just wash them often because they were expensive leathers and continue wearing them. So once mold is in clothes, you need to throw stuff out, especially if it's caked on the leather. So I just didn't know. And this was during COVID time. So I had very bad COVID. So I wasn't feeling great after the COVID incident that I had. So I just thought I had long COVID. This was in the same period of living in this flat. So I was just like not functioning very well, like 70% energy, not great, foggy. And I just thought, oh God, this is COVID. And what happens is when you get poisoned by mold, it stays inside you forever, basically, until you get it out, until you do a protocol to get it out. So the mold was inside me and I wasn't really feeling great, but I was functioning. And the body is amazing. It can tolerate. But when there's too many things attacking it, that's when you go down. And as we know, the mental side is so important for our health. Trauma makes you sick. And it was 2 years later, I had relocated to another island, Mallorca, and I had a lot of personal trauma. Things happened repeatedly, and I really was so upset, and that was it. It took me down. My body couldn't cope with the stress and the trauma on top of the mold, and my immune system just collapsed and I was bedridden for 2 months. I can only describe it as like chronic fatigue, a bit fibromyalgia, just pain in my body, fatigue. My glands were up. Later, I found My Epstein-Barr, my EBV antibodies were off the charts. So I think it was mold and EBV are linked. And the first month of illness, I thought it was COVID again because I'd had COVID several times. It was similar, some of the symptoms. So I was just doing all the viral protocols. I wasn't getting better. And I was actually studying cancer at the time. And I was getting really scared. I was like learning all about cancer and having all the symptoms because quitoxin and aflatoxin, the two common mycotoxins, are grade one and two carcinogens. They do contribute to cancer. Yeah, so I did a month of COVID protocols, viral support, and I didn't get better. And I was like, I then started to get really scared. I was like, oh gosh, something is really wrong with me. So then I just threw money at it, did all the tests. I hadn't done the tests at that point. I did the oat and the candida. My candida was off the chart. The lab had not seen it that high. It was like 10 times higher than my aspergillus. My gut, my stool test, my gut lining was ripped into shreds. It was horrific. I had H. pylori. I had dysbiotic bacteria. I had parasites. Zonulin was high. Secretory IgA was like zero. I was shocked. So then I was like, oh gosh, okay. So then I did an antifungal candida protocol. And I got better after another month, but I got back to the state I was in before. I was functioning, I was better, but I wasn't 100%. Something was still wrong. And it wasn't until a year later, I think I booked in with another nutritionist with 20 years more experience than me just to get a second opinion. I was like, what's going on? And they were like, have you done the mold test? And it was the only test I hadn't done. So I was like, I did the mold test. I was, riddled with mold. I had five different types of mold, super high off the chart. And I was, pretty shocked and scared. That was like, I think it was like a year and a half after I was sick that I did the mold test. So, then I started to do the mold protocol. I think that was about a year and a half ago. And then, started to feel better. A lot of protocols, a lot of binders and fasting and different protocols. I did another test like 6, 8 months ago, and there was only one type of mold. It was a little bit higher, which can happen when you're detoxing and pulling it out. And I'm due to do another test now to check. I'm a bit nervous in case there's any still in there. I'll be really upset, but I feel a lot better.
This is great that you're feeling better and you've gone to the root cause. You've got that test. You know that you had all these mold strains. For listeners today, this is probably totally new for them. It's good that you're explaining your story so they can understand how it could apply to them because a lot of people are living in damp properties and they don't think anything of it. So, before we go on to talking about what you did to get better, because I know you're expert in this now, do you think that we should be checking properties for mold before buying?
Exactly. Yes. And this is exactly what I've just done. So I have been in the process of buying a flat in London. It's a difficult process buying in London. This was the second flat that I was buying. The first one fell through for other reasons. And the survey came back with damp, and like literally my heart sank. I was like, no, of all the things, I know I cannot buy a flat with damp in. With everything I've been through, my immune system is still, I'm still like quite histamine-y. I react when there's too much dust. I get urticaria. My immune system's still not 100%. It takes a long time to fully heal. So it came back with damp. I then said, I want my nutritionist approved damp specialist to come. I actually paid for them to come and survey. I work with Pure Maintenance. And then I persuaded, they did a quote, the vendor did his quote. I persuaded him to pay for their quote. And then they did the work and they come and they have a patented fogging technique that they're the only company in the UK that has this. So they come, they survey, they figure out the areas, and then they make drill a hole, put the fog into the walls or under the floorboards, wherever it needs, and into the whole house. And then they give you, because the fog will get rid of everything. But if you don't get rid of the root cause, the source, it will come back. So then they give you a list of things to do to where it's coming from, basically, what's causing the mold and the damp. And then you have to remediate that to make sure it doesn't come back. So I did all of that before buying the flat. And that is what I really recommend. Even renting, do not live anywhere that has mold. Any suspicions, get it double checked. If you see anything on the walls, just don't move in. But it's so important at the stage of moving in or buying or renting to really safeguard your health, to make sure it's a clean home environmentally.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people do these surveys, but they're not looking at the minutiae and going a step further like you did to really check, is there something in there? So it's very important that we just extend that process a bit further and go deeper when we're buying a property, or as you say, even renting, really checking the property out, because you might be there for at least a year and it could be devastating for your health. Now, we're going to be talking a lot more about whether your house could be making you sick and could mold be at the root cause of your health problem after a few messages from our commercial partners.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list? Then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity, and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
Cappuccino, latte, Americano, flat white, macchiato.
Just imagine, for less than the price of a single cup of coffee out on the high street, you could enjoy an award-winning online magazine every month with up-to-the-minute information on health and healthy lifestyle. Sounds like a good trade-off? Check out Health Triangle magazine on the UKHealthRadio.com website. Just sacrifice a single cup of coffee every month.
Let's all put health first.
The station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to UK Health Radio. My name is Dora. I'm the presenter for the Nutrition for Me show. And this week we're talking about whether your health could be making you sick and whether mold could be at the root cause of that health problem. We're speaking with Maize Al Ali. She's a nutritionist and a functional medicine practitioner. And you can find out more about her work on her website, healthymaize.com. Also follow her on Instagram at healthymaize and also Facebook and LinkedIn. Now, I love the fact you told us the story about what happened to you, because I think a lot of people can relate back to health issues, but not probably realizing that it was mold. Let's talk about mold remediation, because, for example, if somebody does decide to go a step further and investigate the property and find out there's mold there, there's black mold in the property, how can that be remediated?
Yeah, look, you need to get a trusted expert on board. So I recommend Pure Maintenance. I trust them. So, yeah, they are the experts at removing the mold with this patented, amazing dry fog technique that's not toxic to humans, but will get rid of the mold. And like I said, they will help you to figure out where it's coming from. What's the root cause? Because there's no point just fogging and getting rid of the mold if you're not, you know, fixing the damp issue that's causing it in the first place. So, yeah. And when I'm working with clients, it's the first thing I ask them, like, are you still in the moldy environment? There's no point in starting a protocol and then you're still getting poisoned on a daily basis. Look, you can start, but you really have to, yeah, make sure you're not in the sick building. Aside from that, just simple things like, and this is what Pure Maintenance recommend, ventilating. So every morning and evening, opening all the windows on each side of the house for half an hour, at least, even in the winter. And that's just to allow the airflow through the house. That's really important. I've got like an air purifier going continuously, really, in my bedroom and in the living room. So having air purifiers, if there is any damp, dehumidifiers, Pure Maintenance left me with a hydrometer, it's called. and it tells you the percentage of humidity and dampness in your room. And it should be between 30 to 60%, not above. So I've got two actually, one in my bedroom, one here. So it's 52% at the moment sitting on my desk. So if I see it creeping above 60, then I make sure I open all the windows. Yeah. So when you shower, the humidity goes up. So whenever I'm showering, I'm leaving the window open, the door open afterwards of the shower. There's no window in my bathroom, in my ensuite, but there's a window in the bedroom. So I open the bedroom window. So it's just little things like that. Honestly, even as a nutritionist, I was not aware of the simple importance of ventilation.
A long time ago when we were studying, this wasn't on people's radar. It's something that's come up now. We're realizing more about health and the impact of the properties and damp on our health. Now, how can somebody be tested for mold? Because you said you had a mold test and you found ochratoxin and a few other strains. What was the test that you did for yourself?
It's a very simple test. It's just a urine test. You just pee in a tube, send it off, you get the results in 2 to 3 weeks. And it's the Mosaic Diagnostics test. It's run through Regenerous, so I can run it for anyone. And it checks, I think it's 20 different types of mold. Yeah. And there's other types, but it checks for the main ones. And then once you can just put in the right protocol to treat.
Yeah. Now let's talk about protocols, because our listeners today, obviously they've opened up their eyes about whether mold could be at the root cause of their health concerns. So let's say they decided to go for the testing, find out whether they have any mold or any strains in their body. What then, what happens next? How can they help themselves? How can they get this out of their body?
Yeah, it's not that easy. It takes a while. And I work with clients and there can be an element of frustration after a few months. But honestly, it takes 1 to 2 years to fully clear the mold out. The liver is our hardest working organ. It has over 500 metabolic functions. The liver has got to detoxify all that mold. Some species of mycotoxins, ochratoxin, for instance, really damages the kidneys. So I often see on bloods, creatinine goes high, GFR goes really low, these kidney marker functions in blood tests. So then that's often a hint. So yeah, you need to just support the detox capacity of the body. Binders, there are different binder protocols. I run monthly detox groups. Actually, I've been doing this for years. I've always been really into detox protocols with fasting, with binders, with enemas, with psyllium husk. Yeah, definitely need detox. I love a product called ToxiPrevent. So I'd always, it's a very gentle zeolite-based binder. It's great because it also just binds to histamine or heavy metals as well. And often I see in mold sick clients a link with high histamine, links with SIBO as well as the candida. So yeah, binders number one. But before that, you need to focus on bile flow. Because you can't give binders to anyone who is constipated, because it's just going to have the opposite effect. You've got to make sure that you're pooping well, because if you're not pooping, you're not releasing the mold. The toxins are stored in our fat cells. So that is why fasting is so beneficial, because when we fast, we break down fat cells as fuel, and then we're releasing toxins for excretion. So including toxins like mold. That's why in my fasting protocols, when we're fasting, we break down fat as fuel. And then toxins are stored in fat. So then we need to bind those toxins. That's why we use binders. And then we need to excrete the toxins. So if you're constipated, you're not going to be able to be excreting the toxins. They're going to be reabsorbed. So it's pointless to take binders if you're not eliminating properly. And bile is essential for elimination. Bile is used, it's a digestive fluid made by the liver and it's stored in our gallbladder. It has a key role in breaking down fats from the food you eat, especially when we're fasting. We're producing bile to break down fat as fuel. So it's really important that bile is flowing well and that you're pooping well. So really focusing on things to support bile, bitter foods. Yes, dandelion is very liver supportive. Bile salts. Sometimes I give Tadka, which is a supplement that supports bile flow, and just general gallbladder support. Really important. It's the three B's actually with mold detox. So bile, bioflavonoids. Bioflavonoids help to pull the mold out. So bioflavonoids are antioxidants. They're found a lot in orange colored foods. So carrots, sweet potatoes, and you can take a bioflavonoid supplement. Often I will use bioflavonoid quercetin supplement because quercetin has a very antihistamine effect. So it helps to reduce the histamine load, which is often happening with mold. So bile, bioflavonoids, and then binders. So that's the three B's that I focus on that are really important. And of course, you know, what happens when mold is there is the body is desperately going to get rid of it. And candida actually eats mold. The body starts to naturally increase candida to help get rid of the mold. The problem with that is candida gets overgrown very easily. So the body starts to increase it, and then suddenly it just goes wild and goes overgrown. That is why you often see a candida fungal overgrowth with mold. And that's what I had. My candida was off the charts high. So alongside the three B's, we also need to put in an antifungal protocol.
Just explain to our listeners what candida is in case they don't understand what that means.
It's a type of yeast or fungus. It lives in small amounts naturally. It can be in the mouth, in the gut, in the skin, in the vagina. And normally it's harmless and kept in balance by good bacteria and the immune system. But as I mentioned, if the balance of your gut or immune system is disrupted by mold, candida can overgrow. And this is like a candidiasis, it's known as candida overgrowth, especially when the immune system is weakened. And what happens when the good bacteria diminished or destroyed, it allows for overgrowth of bad dysbiotic bacteria and also candida. And there's lots of different types of candida, and mine was the vaginal one. So I had a lot of thrush symptoms. And I was having that for a while before I even knew. I'd never had that before. I was like, oh gosh, what's causing this? And then I found it in the stool test. So often if I see clients with chronic UTIs, chronic thrush problems, I'm always thinking, okay, candida, have you lived in a moldy house? What other symptoms do you have? And that kind of thing. Yeah. So, you know, it's really important to treat the candida to alongside the mold. And so that's using different antifungal protocols, things like garlic. Erva ursi is a herb that's really good for the kind of vaginal candida issue, even like oregano and all these different similar antimicrobial herbs that you would use for SIBO, which is another small intestinal bacterial overgrowth gut issue. So that is the supplement side of things. Diet side, yes. I gained 10 kilos when I was sick with mold because the body's just, I was just like craving carbs. I didn't understand what was going on. I would eat a plate of food and just want to eat more. And this is the candida.
Yeah, candida cravings. It will tell you what to eat to feed it.
And I also had parasites as well. Yeah, both of them are like, feed me, I want sugar. And then of course, you're having more carbs and then you're feeding it and then it's getting worse. So it's just like this really vicious cycle. I really understood the impact of the gut microbiome on cravings myself when I healed it, because I just couldn't understand why I was eating and I couldn't stop eating. And then once the gut was balanced, it was back to normal. I would eat a plate of food and feel full like I normally did. And it was just fascinating to really experience that. Whilst it was a really terrible thing for me to go through, it's been incredible to experience that and be able to help clients and understand what they're going through.
Don't understand it as much until you've been through it yourself. And I think you've got that understanding as to, why do I have these uncontrollable cravings? I had that once in my life where I literally could not stop eating and it went beyond willpower. It was just extreme addiction to sweet stuff. And it was all to do with the microbiome, because if the bacteria are not right, they will actually make you crave, the bad bacteria will make you crave those sugars. The yeast colonization of the body, they will make you crave the sugars because they want to be fed. They're the ones that are in control of you. So we have to treat them well and get the good ones to grow and keep the bad ones down. Otherwise, they're dictating our appetites, aren't they?
Exactly that, Dora. Yeah. And the thing with, so in terms of the diet to support it is, You can't go completely keto and eradicate the carbs completely, because what happens is the candida and the parasites in the bad bacteria, they hide. They hide in biofilms. So you definitely need to reduce it and really focus on the complex carbs and get rid of the refined white carbs and sugars. But have, especially the bioflavonoids, the carrots, the sweet potatoes, have them in smaller amounts and legumes and things like that. Because if you get rid of them entirely, then the candida will just go to sleep and hide in biofilms. And biofilms are like, they wrap them around themselves to protect them so they don't get found by the antifungals or any herbal treatments. But if you continue having a little bit of complex carbs, the candida are still going to be around trying to eat the carbs, and then you can just kill them with your kill protocol. So yeah, the diet is important to support it. And if you just continue a high sugary diet, it's going to be very hard to eradicate. Listen, candida is a bit of a beast, so it is hard. I'd say like my gut is really sensitive to it still. I probably had to do, I don't know how many rounds of antifungals. You have to have a break. You can't just do it continuously, antifungals, antimicrobials for years, because they're very strong. They wipe out everything in your gut. So I was doing 6 weeks on, 6 weeks off, or a month on, a few months off, and going back. Probably did about 6 or 7 rounds of antifungals and antimicrobials.
Now, we're going to be talking a lot more about this after a few messages from our commercial partners.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If you see the letters AIDA, do you immediately think of the opera by Verdi? AIDA is also an advertising acronym for those iconic Mad Men days. A is for attention, I is for interest, D is for desire, A is for action. This process is a timeless truism for making a sale. Fortunately, if your product or service is health-related, we can offer you guaranteed access to a global audience with a high interest in health, healthy lifestyle, and contemporary well-being. UKHealthRadio.com has a regular monthly audience of around 1.5 million health-conscious people. And Health Triangle, its award-winning monthly magazine, has around 20,000 paying subscribers. Find out more about both at UKHealthRadio.com. Let's all put health first.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tena Sensitive Care Pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena Sensitive Care Pads with a skin comfort formula online and in stores now.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to Dora Walsh on the Nutrition for Me show on UK Health Radio. And we're talking about whether your house could be making you sick and could mold be at the root cause. We're speaking to Maiz Al-Ali. She's a nutritionist and functional medicine practitioner. And you can find out more about her on her website. It's healthymaiz.com. Is that right?
Yeah, that's the one.
Healthymaiz.com. She also does wonderful transformational healing retreat. She's got one in Ibiza coming up on the 20th to the 26th. So you can find out about that on her website. And she also has monthly online group liver cleanses, which does really relate to what we're talking about today. So the best way to detox mold, and then she's got things coming up in September this year. So definitely check out her website, healthymaiz.com, and also follow her on Instagram and Facebook and LinkedIn. This is such an interesting topic, and I really hope that our listeners are really relating back to what you're saying, because maybe they're starting to wake up and realizing their mold and their house could be at the root of their health problems. We've talked about the remediation of the house, getting out, getting away from the moldy environment, checking out a house that you might be buying or a flat that you might be renting, getting rid of the mold before you purchase and making sure that you understand the root cause in the property of the dampness and the mold. Because if you don't address that, then nothing's going to work and it's not going to be resolved. We've talked about the three Bs, the bowels, the binders, the bioflavonoids, the importance of really getting that bowel moving. And we talked about the diet as well, making sure that we have a diet that isn't too high in sugar, which could feed the bad bacteria or any potential yeast overgrowth. But can we talk about other things like lifestyle, nasal sprays, or do you support your lymph? Do you do skin brushing? What are the other ways to pull these molds out of the body?
Yes, Dora. Yes, there's a lot of lifestyle things that need to be done to support it. Number one on my list is sauna. When we sweat, we release toxins in our sweat. So sweating is the best way to detox mold and everything, really, heavy metals, anything. That's why I think it's the most insane, terrible invention ever. Why put something on that stops you sweating when we need to sweat to release toxins? It's mad. So stop using deodorant if you do use it. Certainly don't use an antiperspirant full of toxic aluminium and switch to an organic one. I personally don't use any deodorant. And if you wash, you don't smell. And I noticed I'm not very good with coffee. If I have a coffee, it makes me smell. It's really weird. It's the only thing that makes me smell. Because I think it's quite hard on my liver. I don't know. Like, it's always done that, actually, but even before my mold poisoning. I think it just puts stress on the liver. I don't know. I should have a go with using Exhale Coffee, which is like a very clean coffee brand. I definitely, if it's like in a crappy coffee shop, like it's coffee has mold in it. It's something I haven't talked about really. Mold can be found in foods, but usually on a mycotoxin mold test, if it's just kind of food-based, it's just a little bit over the top end of the scale. For instance, ochratoxin 7.5 is the maximum it should be. And I see it 9, 10, 11. That usually means someone's drinking a lot of coffee. Mold can also be in grains. It can be in spices. Anything that's stored and not stored very well. It can grow peanuts, very moldy, soy and corn. So a lot of farmed meat and fish the farmed meat that's fed processed soy and corn, poor quality, can be quite moldy as well. Actually, Pure Maintenance, no, Toxic Prevent. I had a talk with them, the owner, Dilly, and he said they invented Toxic Prevent for chickens, for farmed battery chickens, for their feed. Wow. Because it was so moldy that they needed something to reduce the mold in their feed, how they were living. Really makes you think twice why you shouldn't be eating battery farm chicken or eggs. Definitely. So, yeah, so mold can actually come from foods and coffee. Coffee can be very moldy. So really be aware of your coffee sources. And like I said, Exhale is a really clean brand that I recommend to clients. Yes, food sources of mold. And yes, sauna. Sauna is so important because you're sweating, you're releasing toxins. A great thing to do before the sauna is dry skin brushing. Because when you promote the lymph, when you get the lymph moving, it helps you to detox more. So dry skin brushing, just brush your skin, a soft brush, brush it upwards, up the arms, up the torso, up the legs, and that will just help you to pull more stuff out. And I always take a little bit of charcoal when I'm sauna as well, just to help pull stuff out. And then you can, of course, have a lymphatic drainage massage. Often the first time a client does this, they get a lot of Herx reactions. So what are Herx reactions? They're detox symptoms. So sometimes when you first start to detoxify, you can feel a bit worse. So headachey, migrainey, histaminey, foggy, fatigue, weakness, sometimes even nausea. These are all, it's known as a Herx reaction, where you're detoxing, you're getting the toxins out, so you're feeling a bit rubbish as they're coming out. So yes, sauna, lymphatic drainage, nasal sprays are really important too, because how does the mold enter us? Through breath into our lungs. So I always use, I've got quite a nice NAC spray. Acetylcysteine is the precursor to glutathione. glutathione is master antioxidant in the liver. Really important to support glutathione during the mold detox. And you can also take NAC, and I use a nice NAC spray. You can also use a spray with propolis, which comes from bees and honey, really immune supporting. And xylitol is actually good for spraying anti-mold and things like oregano. So yeah, adding in a nasal spray. You can also do like steam baths are really good with like essential oils, rosemary, thyme. Just get a bowl and hot water and sprinkle some essential oils and put a cloth over your head and just breathe it in. Essential burners are really good as well. Burning clove and oregano in the rooms, in your bedroom and anywhere that's a little bit moldy. Yeah, I think that's about it. Did I miss anything, Dora?
I wonder, do you use colloidal silver spray in the nose? That's the one that I really like with my clients. I get them to spray colloidal silver.
Yeah, I haven't used it a lot because I had one client who was using it and it like gave her heavy metal poisoning. And I think she was excessively...
I like to rotate what I'm using because it's like even people being on antibiotics a long time, they shouldn't be on them. Same with herbal treatments or sprays or anything you use, you should rotate. The bee propolis as well as a spray. I use colloidal silver. There's all different ones you can use. But as we know, and as you mentioned, you have to be careful with colloidal silver. It is wonderful, but you don't want to be using it long term on an ongoing basis. It's just used for a time and then you rotate to something else.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. Rotating antifungals, rotating antimicrobials, because the candida or the bacteria, the bad bacteria, can become immune to them if you use the same thing over and over again. So I'm always doing a 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off protocol. Like especially Erva ursi is the herb that's really good for the thrush candida. That really should only be taken 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off. So I have that for 2 weeks. Then I have a blend like Candysan, which is like a blend of lots of different herbs, and then just alternate. Yeah, rotation.
You mentioned that you're an expert in fasting and that you have done that before to support your health. Is this something that becomes part of the anti-mold protocol?
Yeah, and to be honest, even before my mold poisoning, I was really into doing long fasts. I would do like once a year, a 7-day fast. Since the mold poisoning, I've been doing them every 6 months. And this is the same protocol I run with my online detox group. I think I have a group starting tomorrow, but I run them monthly. People also sign up and detox in their own time. But yeah, so it's like fasting with green veggie juices only. So no sugar, no fiber, apart from we take psyllium husk. We also use food-based binders because when we start to eat, we naturally produce bile, which kind of is pulling the mold out. It's breaking down our fats. But if we have food-based binders, like things like psyllium, ground flax, that we're having with our foods, they can help to pull some of the mold out that's being released whilst we eat.
Yeah.
And then we detox it out. So I'm always adding in psyllium, ground flax, chia, with every meal to have some to just generally help pull stuff out. It's just like fiber, it's excess fiber.
Yeah.
So with my fasting protocols, the only fiber is with psyllium. We take some psyllium to just to help exactly with that. And then the importance of coffee enemas. We do 2 coffee enemas a day. The coffee helps to promote bile when we put it up our bums. And of course, the enemas are just helping to pull toxins out. And then I also recommend doing a colonic, which goes a lot deeper, colonic hydrotherapy. So an enema is about 5 liters of liquid in your colon. And a colonic is done with a therapist in a special room. And you get through about maybe 50 liters of liquid through the colon. So it goes a lot deeper. I really recommend to do colonics after 1 or 2 days fasting, mainly because if you do it whilst you're eating, you're just going to be getting the poop out. What you really want to be getting out is the deep gunk. And whenever we're on doing my protocols, I always encourage them to put a sieve in the toilet when they're doing enemas. You see what's coming out. So I've had parasites come out in some of them, wriggling worms.
Wow.
Yeah. But generally what comes out is mucoid plaque. If you Google that, it doesn't look very nice. But it's the shape of the colon. And that is the gunk. That's the old stuff, where the biofilms, where the toxins are hiding. And that's, I always feel very happy when...
In your opinion, the flax and the psyllium, you don't think that could get the mucoid plaque out or any herbs? You feel that the enema or the colonic would be much more effective at that?
Yeah, it's just that it's much deeper.
Yeah.
And I've never seen mucoid plaque coming out just like a normal poop in the toilet.
What about using colon cleansers that you could get in the health food shop? Do you think that could help get the mucoid plaque out?
Maybe it could if you take some. But it's, there's something about the action of getting the water in the colon really stimulates it in a different way. I know that they're controversial, and that's why I have strict guidances on my detox protocols of post-cleanse. And I always say, after the cleanse, when you've done enemas and colonics, your microbiome is like a baby. It's
How do you get that back in? Some colon hydrotherapists will put a bacteria in.
I always suggest putting probiotics in at the end, holding it in as long as you can. But it's what you eat. You have to repopulate it the right way. If you break the fast with McDonald's, you're going to be causing a lot of problems in your gut health. So you need to just really focus on the fiber. I get them to stay plant-based for a week to really get the fiber in, all the cruciferous vegetables, adding in a lot of prebiotics, which feed a lot of fermented foods. So the prebiotics will feed the probiotics and create good bacteria. So if you can repopulate it correctly with the diet, basically.
Yeah, the right diet. Just to reemphasize for our listeners, it's that diet that helps build a good microbiome. So good fibers. We talked about sweet potatoes. We know that prebiotic fibers can come from things like onions and things like asparagus. They all feed that good bacteria, and we need to give them the right food. As you've said, Maze, we want to be repopulating in the right way, not the wrong way. So not just any food, and definitely not fast food. It's been a real joy to speak to you about whether your home could be making you sick. It sounds like you've been through the mill. By the sounds of it, you've got yourself back on track. You've developed your own protocol for yourself, and now you are helping other people to get to the root cause of their mold toxicities. Thank you so much for sharing. Just give us a little shout out about the protocols that you're offering online to different people that are available.
Yes, of course, there is my monthly cleanse. And every one-to-one client that I work with, I encourage them to do this cleanse. Everyone needs to do it at least once a year, whether you're mold sick or not, because we live in toxic times. There's toxins all around us. So my online cleanse, I run them monthly. It's 10 days with 4 days fasting. You get manuals, you get recipes, you get shopping lists, everything super clear. And people join and do it in their own times. And then as well as that, I have my 3-month one-to-one coaching program where we work in depth. It's very individualized. We have weekly sessions. Now I've introduced a different package that focuses on the trauma. Mold can make us mentally sick as well as physically sick. Yeah. So really understanding the cell danger response of the body. The body is like in fight or flight. So the nervous system gets wrecked and there's a lot of trauma around it. So I work a lot with that with my Gabor Maté training now to really feel safe in the body somatically. So yeah, my 3-month packages. And then of course my retreats, 20th of September, I have one room left in Ibiza. These are magical transformational healing weeks in a stunning villa with a private chef. And we do cacao sound healing and stand-up paddleboard and yoga and meditation daily. It's just like a gift to yourself to reset and recharge. And if anyone is like feeling burnt out, these weeks are really transformational and healing. And I've got next year, I'm actually doing a juice cleanse in the Austrian mountains with the EE system, which is a really deep regenerating system. So for any chronic health conditions combined with a juice cleanse, with the super clean air and water of the Austrian mountains, this is going to be amazing. That's next May. And then
I'm so impressed with all this stuff you got going on. Amazing.
Yeah, no, it's really great stuff. I love to share. I love to heal. So yeah, we've got May in Austria and then next September in Ibiza as well for our magical restorative week.
So for our listeners, they can go to healthymaze.com to see the details of what you're offering.
Don't forget my Instagram, Healthy Maze. I post a lot of free content on that.
So check her out on Healthy Maze on Instagram for sure. She's got a lot of followers. And listeners, I really hope you've enjoyed listening to the show as much as I've enjoyed presenting. Join us again next week on the Nutrition For Me show on UK Health Radio. And today's show is brought to you in association with Revive Active, our show's sponsor, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, offering solutions across all life stages. Revive Active are committed to pure, premium, and positive solutions for everyone's well-being needs, working with your body's needs from morning to night, from energy to a restful sleep, kids' health to active aging. We've teamed up to provide UK Health Radio listeners with 15% off their range. You can try it for yourself. Just go to reviveactive.com and use Radio 15 to see what feeling super is all about. Until next week, thank you and goodbye.